For what happens when a people turn away from God? It was a wonderful land. It was an amazing land. At its very beginning, it was really a miracle of God, because the land came into being simply because of the hand of God. People would look at that land and they would say, there is something different about that land. People around that country knew that country was different. It had to fight wars in its early years. There was a lot of attack on that land, but God was on it. The early days of its beginning had tremendous forefathers. It had men of God. It had men who wanted to know about God. And they would share the word of God to their family and to their friends and to their neighbors. And the ways of God became known throughout that land. But then something happened. There came to be a moral, spiritual decline in that land. Leaders started turning away from God. Leaders that were occupying the positions of leadership became more and more and more ungodly. And finally, that land collapsed. What I have just shared with you sounds like America, doesn't it? But in truth, I have just given you a brief biography of the land of Israel. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28 is getting close to the end of his life. Really, in one of his farewell addresses, he addresses a nation. And in reality, he calls heaven and earth as witness, because he makes it clear to a people that's listening to him that there are things in the future dependent upon what they do with God. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses is getting closer to the end of his life, and he won't live many more years, but he gives a farewell address to the people. And in verses 1 through 14, he tells the people what God will do for them if they will obey him. Moses makes it clear that there is a God in heaven, and this God in heaven has the ability, does and will bless his people if they'll obey him. Moses made it very clear that there was two things: listen to God and obey his commands. But when you come to the end of verse 14, when you start reading verse 15, there is something that Moses also tells the people of Israel. Whether they want to believe it or not, whether they want to accept it or not, whether they want to receive it or not, is not the issue. This is going to happen. This is the words of God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, Moses pronounces to the nation these words: "It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out." And then if you'll look down at verse 25, "The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth." Then if you'll look at verse 37, "Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the nations whither the Lord shall lead thee." God made it very clear to the nation of Israel through his servant Moses, he said, there is a way that you can have the blessings of God. But there is something that's going to happen in your land when you choose to turn away from God. You listen to that in Deuteronomy and you say, well, I just don't know about that. But when you turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, you see the fulfillment of a land that turned away from God. I'm going to only read a couple of verses, but I want you to listen to them. This comes out of the Living Bible, a little more contemporary so we can understand it. Jerusalem streets, once thronged with people, are silent now. Like a widow broken with grief, she sits alone in her mourning. She, once queen of nations, is now a slave. She sobs through the night. Tears run down her cheeks. Among all of her lovers, there is none to help her. All of her friends are now her enemies. When you listen to Deuteronomy and you listen to Lamentation, there is no way that you can help but say, God, what is happening in our land as well? But before I get into the message, let me just give you three principles, three or four things we need to understand. Number one, this passage was written about 3,000 years ago, long before there was ever a United States of America. So this was written by Holy God to any nation, to every nation that he would give birth to. Because God in heaven says there is a price for turning away from him. And it is not a small price, but it is a high price. It is a high price when a land decides they don't want to listen to God anymore. Second of all, God is sovereign. And since God is the sovereign of the universe, he has the right to command and to tell you and me what to do. It's amazing we live in a world where people say, I don't want any interference in my life. God is the sovereign of the world, of the ages, and that is simply the way it is. God told through Moses, said, I want you to tell the people this. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. It doesn't matter if you believe what I'm saying or not. I am telling you what is and what will be in the land of the United States of America when we turn away from God. It simply is that way. Case closed. God is the sovereign of our land. God is the sovereign of the universe. He has always been the sovereign, and he will remain the sovereign, and he will forever be the sovereign. He is Jehovah God. You and I need to listen to our sovereign God seriously because we are in a land that is in desperate need of your godliness. Moses said to the children of Israel, this is what will happen when you obey God. God will make it his business to rain his blessings. Why? Because that's the way God is. He loves to bless anybody that will obey him, that will reverence him, that will worship him. But Moses reminded the people, God is the one who's given us life and he has a right to expect you to obey him. Sometimes I come across Christians from time to time and they just say, well, I just don't know about my life. You are expected to obey the living God. Every one of us in this sanctuary, God expects you to obey him. There are no exceptions or exemptions. In the sight of Holy God, when this was written, I want to say this. There was no such thing as a political party. There wasn't Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian. He is sovereign God. You and I need to listen to him because here's what happens in a land. As the people of God go, so goes the land. God was telling the nation of Israel, I can promise to you, I can tell you these are things that will come on you the day you decide you don't want me anymore, because there is a high price to disobey and turning away from God. It's not just disobeying God, because every one of us have disobeyed God, but it is one thing to turn your back and your heart obstinately on the God who founded you and established you. And God makes it very clear that his truth never alters. I'm going to share with you some statistics a little bit later on in this message that will hopefully be a sobering call to you and to me. Because you and I have time to be a godly people, but I can tell you what is and what will be. This will come to pass if we as a people turn away from God. It will happen. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So first and foremost, out of this passage of Scripture, I want you just to understand some things. God is serious about the actions of his people. Now, when you read the very words in Deuteronomy 28:15, here's the reality of what happens. God is saying, if you will turn from me and not listen to me and not do what I say. In other words, God is talking to people. He is talking to Israel. Moses is using his servant to tell people that their actions are important. He is letting them know in no uncertain terms that their life and their life's actions and their obedience or disobedience to God is a big matter. Your life is not a trivial matter to God. Your life and your obedience matters greatly to the one who gave you life and brought you into this world if you're a Christian. Jesus said it this way in John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Listen, God is the one who knows us completely, and he gives you a mind, and he gives you abilities, and he gives you a heart, and God has created you to love him. There is within you the capacity to love whatever you want to love. You have the capacity to love whatever is in your being, whatever you want to love. Some people love sports. Some people love recreation. Some people love one thing and the other. But God says, here's my commandment to you. I'm giving you a commandment to love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and being. Because God loves to be loved. Now think about it a moment. He's given you the capacity to love him. He's given you the capacity to know him. Don't you think for one moment that your life is immaterial. I thought when I was just a kid, well, I'm just 7, 8, 9. What big a difference is my life? Your life, if you're 7, 8, 9, is a big difference to God. God gave you life and he gave you the ability to love him. When you and I love God, that is a sweet fragrance of aroma to his presence. Don't you think that God is thinking about 6 billion people and you're just a random number? That's the way we think because we're humans. But you're created by God to love him. And God told the children of Israel, he said, I want you to know that your personal actions are serious business to God. Your actions, your actions, your actions, your actions, all the actions of your life and my life, they're serious to God. Because Moses said, your obedience will bring you blessing. It has been amazing. I've challenged some young people sometime to say, all right, you don't think God will bless you? Let me challenge you. And I say, you do this and you do this and you do this and you see if this won't happen. Because God is a wonderful God, and he says, put me to the acid test. He loves to bless obedience. I can tell you this. You obey God, you do what God says, and all of heaven's blessings are going to come upon your life. You say, well, I just don't know if I believe that. Don't matter. Let me ask you this. How many of you do not believe that if I jumped off of here, I would not fall? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to jump, but I'm going to be suspended in midair. Some of you are looking at me like, you need to learn the law of gravity, Pastor. No, if I jumped off of here, well, number one, I'd break my leg. I know what I'd do. And then Mike would have to rush down here, and so we won't do that. I'm not going to do that. But here's what I'm saying. There is a law at work. If I jump off of here, I'm going to go down. And some of you may think, well, you'll go down faster than I would. We won't get into that either. But the laws of God are at work. You obey God, and he'll bless you. Moses was saying to the nation, you obey God. Is there any denying that we have been blessed? We're the most blessed nation on the earth. You can find out how by going to another country. Go to another country where they don't have what we've got. You look at them, and when I was in Russia, I was just amazed at some of the things they don't have. They don't have yards to mow. They don't have lawnmowers to mow the yards because they don't have yards. They lock everything up, and their cars, if you can afford a car, they're just very meager, modest cars. Not as many paved roads. I mean, we're blessed. And God told Moses, tell the people if they obey me, they'll be blessed. Because God is serious about your life. God is serious about your obedience. And you see, but Moses also said, tell them their consequences. God said, there are consequences for turning away from me. It's interesting to notice that Moses didn't tell the people, if you don't believe this, this isn't going to happen. I say to you, as Moses did and others did, as God calls heaven and earth as witness, this will happen because it is the irresistible, irrefutable, unalterable word of Holy God. When there is a refusal to listen to the commands of God, a refusal to operate within the commands of God, a refusal to obey the lands, God will make it his business to deal with the land. And don't you think that he can't listen? He is from everlasting to everlasting. And you see, the first thing that happened was a refusal to listen to God. Now, what do you mean listen? I don't know about you husbands, but sometimes when my wife wants my attention and I'm not listening, she will say these words to me. You're not listening to me, are you? And I don't want to confess that I wasn't. I'll just say, now say that again. You wasn't listening to me. Now listen to me real carefully. Imagine if I just turned my back on you and I ignored you. I ignored every one of you that was sitting there in the sanctuary. And I didn't even look at you. Listen, that's what God is talking about. When you decide you don't want to listen to me anymore. When you decide you want to do your own thing. And there is a price to pay for a do-it-your-own-thing society. We are seeing that. And there are some sobering statistics that I'll share with you in just a moment. God said there's a refusal. And Moses said, if you don't want to listen to God, God is serious about what he'll do with us. God is serious about our life. God is serious about every person that names the name of Christ. You know, we live in a land that we have so much Bible. You can buy Bibles. You can have abundance of Bibles. As one wonderful servant of God said, we're information rich, but we're application poor. God said, it's going to come to pass if you refuse to listen to me. And second, it's going to come to pass if you refuse to follow my directions. Now, when you look in verse 15, here's one thing that God's servant relayed to the people. Your obedience is expected. Now, if I told you, I gave my daughter some directives, and it didn't matter to me if she obeyed me or not, you'd look at me real strange. And if you gave your child some directives and said, well, it don't matter to me if they obey me or not, I think you strange. Don't you think it's a serious business? God gives you life, and if he gives you salvation, if you're a Christian, you're saved. Your life is a big deal, and here's why. God don't want you to wreck your life, and here's the reality. He knows what's best for you. I didn't let my daughter have her license when she was 10. Well, she couldn't have got them anyway, but it wasn't time yet. Now, she was driving at 10, and that's another story. But there was a right time for her to get her license because certain things happened. But one thing I wanted her to understand was this. It was important for her to listen to Dad because I loved her and I cared for her, and I would do nothing to hurt her in her life. That is the sovereign reality of our God. He says, if you'll listen to me, I'll never hurt you in any way. As a matter of fact, he says, I've got a plan to prosper you and to promote you and to bless you. Jeremiah chapter 28 and also chapter 33. God says, I've got a plan to bless you. But here's the reality. God says, if you decide someday you don't want to listen to me, I'm going to make it my business. That's what sovereign God says, friend. God says, I'll make it my business to curse you. Jeremiah is the writer of Lamentations 1. And he says, I go through the city streets and I remember what it sounded like. The hustling and the bustling. I remember what it used to be like. And now the streets are empty. Could that be America someday? Could we lose this land? Oh, yes. Because you see, there are consequences for turning away from God. And you see, the consequences are not accidental. Now listen to me real carefully. Our land is not where it is by government or by politics. Now I want you to listen to me real carefully. God said, if you will obey me and follow me and do what I tell you to do, all these blessings will come. Back in 1776, did you by chance know that much of the wording that was put into the Declaration of Independence was wording that the forefathers heard from sermons four or five wonderful men of God, more than that, but tremendous powerhouses for God. Because, matter of fact, I think 18 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were seminary graduates. They were serious about their allegiance to God. And God made it very clear that where we go as a people, where we go as a land, is not up to political systems. It's not up to governmental institutions. It is up to the people of God obeying and listening to the Lord their God. Because the sovereign God says in verse 15, I will bring these curses upon you and I will utterly destroy you. Why, God? Because God is serious about our lives. God is serious about your life. God is serious about what you do every day of your life. God is serious if you have underhand dealings. And if you do, you need to repent of them and turn to God. God is serious about how you live your life. God is serious about how you treat your family, how you treat your neighbor. God is serious about every aspect of our life. And God told Moses that this will come to pass. And you see the reality of it is, consequences, God remains the same. Moses reminded the nation that they were established to count for God. Now, America is by no means in Israel. Israel will stand when America is gone. Because there is no evidence in the last part or in the Revelation that America is standing. You listen to the greatest men of God, and they will say to you, they find no evidence of our land being here in latter time. I don't know where we'll be, but here's what I can tell you is the Word of God. Because somebody would say, well, Pastor, can we return? There's only one way, and it's individual obedience, individual repentance. But we now have a systems in place where people don't want to hear about God. People don't want to hear the Word God. They don't want to, and we have such a belief system, evolutionary belief. Do you realize why evolution came into being? Do you realize up until about the 1860s, the idea of evolution was the most foreign thing to our world? In about 1860, backwards, the belief of men and women who were knowledgeable men was that this world came into being about 6,000 to 10,000 years ago. If you was a knowledgeable person, if you was a scientist, if you had any type of education about you, it was thought that 6,000 to 10,000 years. But evolution, you know why evolution came into being? Well, you say, well, because we're here 23.5 billion years ago. No, here's the reality. Study evolution, listen to evolutionists. Here's the reality. Nobody created us. We're accountable to nobody. And we can do what we want to with our life. That's the whole system of evolution. We became particles in the galaxies some millions of years ago. And by chance, we became into being. Now, God makes it very clear. And he tells the nation of Israel, there are consequences that come from holy God. You know, and they're not harsh consequences that God has given. God said, I'm going to tell you there's a price for turning away. Now, but what are the consequences? And I'm going to deal very specifically next week with the consequences. But let me just say this. The consequences will touch every aspect of their lives. And it will do the same for us. As a matter of fact, you're amazed at how much they already touch every aspect of your life. I'll share it in just a moment. Deuteronomy was written some 3,000 years ago. But God told Israel, you turn away from me. You decide you don't want me. And here's what's going to happen. I'll take my hand of protection off of you. I'll take my hand of security off of you. And you'll find what it is not to have God. There is a degree I really believe. Dr. John MacArthur talks about it. The restraining hand of God. We live in a land where sex is everywhere. It is sex, sex, sex everywhere. That is a sign of God's hand of removal. That is a sign of the hand of God dealing with the people. You see, the sobering truth is God's not changed. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these, but I want to just share a few of them with you. Here's what God says. God himself declared through Moses, I'll give you the curse of being continually cursed. God said through Moses, here in essence, there's going to be the reality, you're cursed and you're going to continually be cursed because you decided one day you didn't want me. But it's not really one day, it's just a series of time that you decided you wanted to go this way, you wanted to live this way. I'll curse your food supply. I'll curse your productivity. I'll curse your fruitfulness. I'll curse you with deadly diseases that sweep over all the land. The curse of being defeated by your enemies. The curse of being a failure. And here's a picture Moses gives. One of your fiancés will be engaged to be married. One of your women will be engaged. And God said, somebody else will come in and rape her. And God said, I will send you devastation on your economy. You don't believe it, you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 38 through 44. You say, where are we, Pastor, as a land? We are a nation in debt, $16 trillion. We're a nation that has aborted millions of children, but you don't ever hear anybody say anything about those lives. You don't hear leaders saying anything about that. We're a nation, one of the last statistics, there's 11 million homes underwater. What that means is there's more owed on those homes than what they're worth. They're underwater. But here's one that gets me. In 2009, and this wasn't even the case in 2007, or 2006, or 2005, but in 2009, nearly 50% of our debt was owned by foreign countries. Nearly 50% of our debt. Friend, I can tell you this. There is a high price a nation pays for turning away from God. There is no political answer. There never has been a political answer. There never will be a political answer. Because here's the reality. God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. But here's what's happening. And I heard it summed up best in a song yesterday. We're not praying for the change of any hearts. We're just getting used to the dark. You see, here is a sobering and frightening thing, and I don't have time to go into it. It's amazing how evolution has infiltrated the belief system of children and how evolution has infiltrated the belief system of adults. And we're a society that says, just believe something, just be sincere. Listen to me real carefully. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm telling you what is. What will be of this land that you and I call the land of the free and the home of the brave. When there is a turning away from God, God will make it his business to curse that land. Why? Look at us. We have more privileges and opportunity than anybody on the face of the earth. We have a free society. And the reason for our birthing, you ever stop and think why we're birthed? For the proclamation of the gospel. I wish you could listen to some of the founding documents of Harvard Institute. It's amazing what they believe. They said, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the Lord God Almighty. We believe in the Holy Spirit. That is the founding documents in Harvard Institute. Why? Because those institutes were founded for the truth of the Word of God. But here's what God says. Moses getting ready to walk off the scenes. You tell them, Moses, I don't know what you'll do with your life. That's your choice. I can't tell you what to do with your life. That's between you and God. But I can promise you this. There is a high price of turning away from God. And here's the sad part about it. We've gotten to the point anymore, we don't want to hear, we want to hear user-friendly messages. And I have to tell you, this was a hard one. But here's the reality. Whether we live or whether we die, as a nation, as a land, as a people, is determined on whether we return to God or whether we do not. Some would ask, Pastor, what do you foresee? Can I tell you in real honesty? I don't foresee revival. I don't foresee a returning. Let me give you an example. And I don't mean this against you, but in our last revival meeting, it was one of the weakest attended revival meetings. And it made me ask a question. Lord, where are we going as a nation? Where are we going as a land? You see, here's the reality. Moses wasn't mincing his words. And I pray you've heard me clearly. There's a price I pay if I turn away from God. There's a price you pay. We turn away from God. There is a price we pay as a nation. That is the sovereign word of God. Psalm says, blessed is the nation. Help me finish it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can I ask you this? How serious are you? I'm not going to ask you how serious are you in coming to church. That's not my question. How serious are you in getting involved in activities? I'm not asking you that question. How serious are you in your personal walk with God? We as a land have declined radically in the past 20 years. Only God knows where we'll go. But what do you have to do with it? To obey? To say, Lord God, I'll be a godly mommy. I'll be a godly daddy. I'll be a godly husband. I'll be a godly wife. That's His word. Father, You tell us succinctly and tell us clearly through Your servant Moses, as You dictated to him to declare to the people, as Your Spirit put in his mouth, there's a high price for turning away from God. Father, help us to know that our answer is not in political systems. Our answer is in personal obedience to the living God. Father, I pray this morning for every heart, for every life, for every soul here. Father, I pray that they would realize how utterly important they are to the kingdom of God. How utterly important their personal obedience, even as a 6 or 7 year old boy or girl, they're important to You, and their obedience is important. It's a big deal to You. For as our obedience goes, so goes the land. Father, Your Holy Spirit deal in this invitation. Speak to us. Draw whom You would. Maybe there's someone who's just not obeying You. And they need to come and repent. They've not being a godly dad or a godly mom in the home. They're not being what You want them to be. Father, our only hope is a return to You. But will it happen? Oh, God, grant the saving of those here today that are without Christ. In Jesus I pray. Amen. as we stand together and sing this hymn of invitation. Friend, you're here this morning and God loves you.